Tomorrow evening, Tuesday, April 24th at 7:30 p.m., in Zankel Hall, acclaimed American tenor Lawrence Brownlee presents the New York premiere of Cycles of My Being, a new song cycle composed by Tyshawn Sorey with lyrics by Terrence Hayes that explores the realities of life as a black man in America. Mr. Brownlee, who has been hailed as one of the world's leading bel canto tenors by the Associated Press, is conducted by Tyshawn Sorey and joined by violinist Randall Gooseby, cellist Kari Joyner, clarinetist Alexander Lang, and pianist Kevin Miller. The program opens with Schumann's Dieterlieb, to be performed alongside pianist Myra Wing. The performance was commissioned by Opera Philadelphia and Carnegie Hall, and I am pleased that it brings Lawrence Brownlee back to WNYC. Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you today.
So you are arguably one of the greatest operatic tenors in the world, and you are also a black man in America.
Yes.
So in what ways are these two major parts of who you are at odds with each other or getting to know each other or whatever may be?
You know, Chaka Khan said I'm every woman, so I feel like I'm every man. It's a part of who I am. My reality is that I get a chance to travel the world and, you know, I've been fortunate to sing in, you know, the world's most important opera theaters, symphony halls, recital venues. And so that's very much who I am. And I consider myself incredibly fortunate. But also who I am is a black man in this country. And I know that every day that I wake up, it's a different experience that awaits me than someone who has blonde hair and blue eyes. And so the reality is we deal with things on a day-to-day basis that someone who doesn't look like me, i.e. someone who has blonde hair and blue eyes, that they would face. I think there's a certain consciousness that we have knowing that we'll go out into the world and have to be aware that we will face some difficulties.
So you were, I think, in this very studio about a couple of years ago talking about playing Charlie Parker, one of the first opportunities you had to play a black man in an opera, and talking about how there aren't many roles written like that. And I remember you said that you, in a couple of years' times, you'd love to do a song cycle. And here we are.
Yes.
So could you describe Cycles of My Being?
Cycles of My Being came about as an opportunity. Well, we wanted to use our art as a platform to express something that was close to our heart. And if you think about things that we had been seeing in the news, every day we saw a story that could be Philando Castile or Michael Brown or Trayvon Martin or Sandra Bland. So many stories. Every day we were seeing this. And so that's frustrating. You know, the anger mounts and, you know, it starts to affect you and how you look at the world. And so what myself and these young gentlemen that I spoke of, we came together. We wanted to bring our collective experiences to be able to take hold of the conversation, to be able to talk about it, to talk about things that we have questions. You know, we have questions that we want to ask in, you know, America. As we say, the song states, I hear you, I see you hiss, I hear you hiss and stare, rather. Do you love the air in me as I love the air in you? What that says basically is, you know, I've traveled to 46 countries in my life, but I am very proudly American. And do you love me as I love this country? I really love this country. And I just, I have some questions for it. And so it was meant just to have a conversation and to give people a little bit of insight to what we feel and what we experience daily in this country. And there's a lot that goes on. It's, you know, one of the pieces says that, you know, it's subtle and overt. It's out in your face and hidden. You know, it's in bureaucracy. Black robes decide, you know, our fate. And so many things we deal with on a day-to-day basis that people don't realize, but it is our reality.
I love the air in you. Do you love the air in me? That's fantastic because it gets it away from the idea of the individual and instead puts the emphasis on that thing we share, that essential thing we share.
Yes. And, you know, when we talk about this cycle, our goal, our attitude is just not to get more, but just get what the Bill of Rights and the Constitution says that we're, you know, we are afforded as a tax-paying, law-abiding citizen of this country. And so, yes, we love this country. We just want to be treated, you know, to have the same, you know, the return of us giving love, this country to give the love to us as well.
How aware were you of the work of your collaborators, composer Tyshawn Sorey and poet Terrence Hayes, before this project?
Honestly, I didn't know about their work, and so they didn't know about my work as well either. And so when Andrew Owsley is a guy I work with, and he and I had a conversation, and I said to him, I want to have some people that, you know, have accomplished something, that have a voice, you know, have an opportunity to also put their, you know, their message out there as well, and to, you know, have a good collaboration. And so he introduced me to both of them. And so it was in working with them that I got to know more of their stuff. And so we've gone on to become good colleagues, and we interact a fair amount. But these are guys who bring a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experiences. And it was absolutely important for those voices to be in the room when we created this.
So Tyshawn is a composer, of course, and a conductor, and Hayes is a wonderful poet. What is it about their particular styles in those capacities that blends so well with you and your voice, do you think?
Well, people know me as a bel canto singer, and so when we talk about bel canto, I guess it says beautiful singing. That's what it, I guess it translates to, but it really means what the voice can do, its ability. So I always try to use my voice to, as I tell people all the time, to paint pictures and to try to be descriptive in a way. And Tyshawn, his music, it's so dense, it's so complex, it's so brilliant. And even in Cycles of My Being, what he's done is put some undertones in it, the music, the orchestration. You feel the tension. You feel the pain. You feel, you know, even in some of the things, some of the instrumentation, you can imagine the angst and the turmoil and some of the difficulties and hardship. And I think the words of Terrence Hayes put together with that, Terrence is a very provocative poet, lyricist, and he has some amazing things to say, and I think he finds a good way to do it. And so coming together, all three of us collectively, we wanted to do something that would stand the test of time, and so hopefully we've done something that people appreciate as being, you know, powerful.
I'm D.W. Gibson. I'm speaking with tenor Lawrence Brownlee about his performance of Cycles of My Being at Carnegie Hall. So this evening has a sort of two different parts. It's the song cycle that you've created and some German music, Schumann, Dieterliebe.
Yes. Yeah.
How do these things fit together? Do they fit together? How do they work together?
Well, they're both song cycles, and that's where it ends, the compare, you know. But Dieterliebe is a piece that has been around.
Your German is so much better.
No, I worked hard to try to get Dichterliebe now. But learning that piece, for me, I think is a highly intellectual piece, something that's been around since the late 1800s, something that many, you know, accomplished singers have done. It's not like singing an opera role, which I've done many times. Singing a song cycle and maintaining someone's attention, but also maintaining your idea, what you want to express, has been a great challenge for me. So I wanted to pair it with another song cycle. And so I had already had the contract at Carnegie Hall to do Die Stille Band, to do the recital. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to do another song cycle? So that's how Cycles of My Being. So pairing these two together was just putting two song cycles and do an interesting recital in that respect.
Mm-hmm. There is, as we've already talked about, a dearth of music out there like this, like the cycle you've put together, Cycles of My Being. Do you feel like the world of opera is opening to sort of more music like this? Do you feel like there are more opportunities for this?
Absolutely. One of the things I do, I work at Opera Philadelphia as an artistic advisor, and that company has a mission that they want to always create new music, new works, and I think it's important that the people of this time are able to have some type of contribution to the world of music. Of course, the time of Chopin and Liszt and Rossini and Wagner and Puccini, they left things. And so the people that are living in this time, in 2018, need to leave music as well. And I think it's important that these people have a voice. So I'm very interested in doing new works and putting things out there for the listener and the people that appreciate art, you know, what we do in this art form, and that it will hopefully be around for many years to come.
You talked about so many things going on in the world over the last few years that really fueled this work. You referenced Michael Brown and Castillo. Can you talk about any personal experiences you've had in your life that might have sort of informed this work?
Well, I remember a time I was in Los Angeles and I was driving down the street and I was pulled over. I had gotten out of the way for an ambulance to pass. And so I had pulled back over to the left lane. I was needing to turn left, so says the GPS.
Uh-huh.
And so as I was sitting there, I was slightly in the crosswalk. Well, a police officer came from that direction and saw me and yelled at me, get over, get over.
Mm-hmm.
So I pulled over, You know, of course, I obeyed the law. I took out the rental agreement because it was a rental car. I don't mm-hmm. live in Los Angeles. And I had my all of my information, and I had my hands at 10 and 2. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, yes, sir, and everything else. But he came yelling at me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know me. He had never seen me before. He just yelled and yelled and yelled. And what I felt, he was trying to provoke a response. But I decided in my mind that I was not going to give him this opportunity to let a situation escalate and get out of control. And I felt at that moment that it was specifically because he saw a black man in a car.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing to do with anything because he didn't witness me doing anything. He just saw me slightly in the crosswalk. And so when I drove away, I felt angry.
Mm-hmm.
I felt humiliated. I felt that, you know, he felt powerful because of his badge.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that he thought he was better than me, mm-hmm. and I did nothing to deserve it. But I said, you know what? I want to live another day. I don't want to be another statistic. And so things like this is just one of the incidents that have happened to me in my life. And I definitely try to see the, you know, everything is half full rather mm-hmm. than half empty. But I've had many experiences where my race has played into how people have treated me.
So when you guys were working on this project, was it a sort of a combination of looking at the world at large and looking at the headlines, but also looking at personal experiences as well for all three of you?
Well, I think personal experiences, they will inform anything you do, you mm-hmm. know, how you write. And so we all have our own things. And I wouldn't say that Cycles has reflections of this is what I experienced myself. But I think, and what we wanted to present is something that people could say, you know what, this is my story. I completely relate to the things you've said and the questions you want to ask. You know, one of the lyrics in Hate says, you know, hate wears white sheets.
Hmm.
Hate wears black robes.
Mm-hmm.
It wears high heels and blue uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hate is not necessarily something that's under the rug. It's not necessarily overt, but it's in so many different parts of society that someone may not even realize it. But it's in, like I said, in judges and DAs and access to education and so many different things. We see it all the time, and I think it's just, you know, it's everywhere.
See, and that's so effective, just like the earlier line you gave us in terms of breath and appreciating the breath from each other, because it how do we say this? It draws the attention away from sort of an individual who might have issues with how they see the world and might be limited in how they see the world,
mm-hmm.
but it points out that we can all share those shortcomings wherever we're coming from, and we can share them from whichever perspective we have.
Right, right. When we talked about this cycle, it was never the idea to shake our fist at anyone
mm-hmm.
and to be angry.
Any one group.
We're not pointing the finger saying you're wrong for this. You know, there is a line that says, you hate me, but I'm in the state that your ancestors helped create.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think that, you know, just having a little bit of compassion, empathy, you know, for our situation, we don't want any favors, but just realize that we have a different experience and you understand why I think some of the angst and frustration of like groups like Black Lives Matter and other, you know, other things where it just seems like the value of someone's life that looks like me or them seems to be less and treated less than someone else.
Mm-hmm. So are you going to be able to perform Cycles of My Being anywhere else?
Well, we've already performed it at Opera Philadelphia, where it debuted and premiered, Lyric Opera Chicago, and I think it's been done two or three other times. And so it's been positively received, which we appreciate. It's some difficult material for people to accept.
Yeah.
But people have been extremely supportive and receptive. And, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, sometimes I remember doing it in Provo, Utah, which
oh,
is
wow.
the most conservative voting district in the United States. And the response was absolutely overwhelming. People were touched by it. So we appreciate that people are open and receptive to what we're saying. And we hope we get a chance to perform it elsewhere.
And, you know, you've touched on this, but if you had to crystallize what you hope the audience to take away from the performance, what would it be?
Well, I hope just people talk. I hope people. Mm. It you know, it promotes conversation. And I think people, if they just listen to it, I think they will begin to think, wow, I never really broke it down to that level. But there's an understanding that I have now because I'm looking at a stage full of intelligent musicians that have accomplished a lot of things who just happen to be black,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mm-hmm. so if they can look at it that way, I hope it will, if we change one person, we don't know that that's what will happen, but we hope the conversation will begin as a result of this cycle.
I'm D.W. Gibson, and I've been speaking with internationally acclaimed bel canto tenor Lawrence Brownlee, who created a Black Lives Matter-inspired song cycle called Cycles of My Being. He'll be performing tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at Carnegie Hall. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
This is Midday on WNYC. We'll be right back after a break.